Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
All right, welcome again to another Sunday service, a new creation. We are going to, before we get into the message, we are going to partake of communion, given that this is the first Sunday of the month of June. So what we like to do here is to take a few minutes to, as the scripture tells us, to examine ourselves, make sure that we're not carrying grudges or animosity or mad at somebody or we haven't forgiven somebody. So let's take a few minutes, then I'll pray, and then we will partake of the emblems together. So Father, we thank you for this time. First of all, we thank you for the blood that Jesus shed for the forgiveness of our sins, and then the body that was broken for our healing, and that through both the body and the blood, we now have a new covenant with you through Jesus Christ. So Lord, thank you for receiving us through the blood and body of Jesus. Thank you for making us a part of your family because of the new covenant that you shared with us. And Lord, we ask that you would forgive each one of us our sins. Lord, help us to walk in the truth. Help us to walk in forgiveness. Help us to walk in love. And help us not carry burdens and griefs and unforgiveness in our hearts, so that you might heal us when we need healing, that you might set us free from the snares of the enemy. So bless your body and your blood, the emblems that we partake of, in Jesus' name, amen. So as we get ready to take of the body or the bread, we always like to read 1 Corinthians 11:23. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together. And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And we like to raise the cup as a token and a sign of victory, knowing that Jesus has won the battle for us and we receive his victory. Let's drink together in Jesus' name. Amen. It reminds me of that old song, the blood that Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches, said it reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, yeah. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Amen. We can always be thankful for the blood of Jesus because it never loses its power. People are still coming and receiving salvation due to his blood. Amen. Well, we are going to talk about what we can learn in this season that we've been going through throughout the year 2020. So let's pray and we'll get into the message. And I will try not to be too long on this subject. Father, we thank you for the time. We thank you for the seasons that we're in, that we go through. And seasons, as you know, are only for a short time. They come and then they go. But Lord, we pray that you would help us to learn the things that you wish for us to learn in each and every season of our life that we go through. So Lord, we pray for you to speak to our hearts this morning. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Now, of course, we remember in 2020, when 2020 began, everybody seized on the obvious theme of the year, and the obvious theme was what? Vision, right? 2020 vision. And I don't know how many of us really saw what was coming, but, you know, 6 months into this year, what are we seeing, or what do we see now? And there's four really types of vision, if you will. There's what's called present sight, which is the things you see in front of you, what's going on right now, what's going on around us. And then there's insight, which is not really a visual thing, but it's what are you getting from what is going on around us, or what kind of insight is God revealing to you? There's foresight, which foresight is something that sees into the future. And then there's hindsight, which looks back and tries to figure out, based on what's gone on, what was the lesson or what is the lesson. So based on all these types of sights, what is it that we see in this season? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 8. As our first passage of scripture. And a lot of people, when this pandemic started, they wanted to know, well, is this the beginning of the end? Well, I think based on what we've gone through, I think the answer is in this passage. So let's go to it. It says, Matthew 24, 4 says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be," and this is where we're looking at, "famines and pestilences." And in the margin, the word pestilence means, or not in the margin, but in the dictionary, pestilence means maladies or diseases, earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. In other words, this is not the end, but it could be looked at as the prelude or the beginning of the end. You know, when you read a book, there's a preface in the book. This is like a preface to the end. This is like what could happen if the end were to start. Now, if you think about it, this is not one of the end time plagues. But if it started to just add on to one after the other. So now we're entering hurricane season, and we had tornadoes come and all these things. And if we had a bad hurricane season, it would just be a plague upon a plague upon a plague. And at sooner or later, these things would start accumulating. And then you would have to wonder if this is now accelerating the end. But if you just look at only the pandemic of the corona or the COVID-19 virus, this is not one of the end time plagues, but it is the beginning of the sorrows. You moms who've had children, it is like one of the early contractions that you start to receive. And then you go to the doctor and says, I'm having contractions. And they say, well, those are not the real contractions. That's the what they used to call false labor. I don't know if they still call it that anymore. But this is like a labor pain, but it's preceding the ones that are coming down the road. It's not the serious ones, but it's there nonetheless. And so we can see that as we go through this season, we have to learn to discern or have insight into the times and the seasons that we're going into. In other words, we have to recognize when God is about to close the book and when he's just trying to use things to get our attention. So this is clearly an attention grabber. This is something that we as God's people should take heed to and start to examine ourselves. And we'll get into that in a minute. But this is not one of the end time plagues. It is one of the preceding beginning of sorrows as described in verse 8. So the next thing we have to look at is what else is going to happen? What else is happening? Well, we see all the protests, the riotings, the death of the young man in Minnesota, Mr. Floyd. And you look at these things, and are these also indications of what could or what is supposed to happen in the end? Well, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And it says this, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. And if you look at all the chaos that ensued behind the death of this young man, and it's not just his death, it's been the death of others that preceded him, you see these things start to bubble up in people. And I'm not trying to justify anybody's wrongdoing. The people who do wrong should be punished. Even the scripture says that. It says the law is for the lawless. And he also says in Romans that he doesn't bear the sword in vain. And if you violate the law, then you're subject to the penalties of the law. But that goes all around. You cannot be on the side of lawlessness when you're trying to do right. We talked about this before. As Christians, we don't want to suffer as evildoers. We want to suffer for righteous causes. So when you stand up for what is right and somebody then bothers you, harasses you, beats you up, beats you down, whatever it is, but if you're doing the right thing, then the Bible says that's suffering as a believer. But when you're doing the wrong thing, then you're suffering for your own wrongdoing. And so we have to always be careful, but this tells us that times like this will happen. Now, we can see that there's always perilous times throughout the world, but when the perilous times become multiplied around the world, and this pandemic has brought to bear on the whole world, it wasn't just one nation. Every nation, except for the nation of Sweden, locked down its country. And that is something that has never happened in a time where there wasn't a war. And so we see all these things, and then their shortages resulted as a result. And I know we didn't have true food shortages. We had supply shortages. Some people couldn't get certain things. You couldn't find toilet paper for a few weeks. You couldn't find, I think, cleaning supplies and things like that. But because of these kinds of things, we see that this is a beginning of a birth pain. This is something that God is trying to use to get our attention. See, the thing about God is God wants people to repent. He wants people to turn from their own ways and pursue Him. Now, He doesn't send plagues. He doesn't do this, but He allows things to happen so people can take notice and turn from their own ways. Stop depending on their own selves, relying on their own abilities. And so as we see things like this start to bubble around us, we have to start having insight, if you will, to know that what God is trying to teach us in that season. Amen? Next, we want to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. So let's go there real quickly. And it says here, concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly well, perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Notice he uses the same parable or analogy of a pregnant woman getting ready to give birth. So what do we see about peace and safety? Well, one of the things that I always wondered about, especially when the end time talks, is how are the nations who, quote, love freedom, are going to allow somebody to become a dictator over them? I mean, how is America in all its land of the free and home of the brave and all the things that we stand for under the Constitution, how is that nation, or how are we as a nation going to submit ourselves to just utter control? And this pandemic has shown me exactly how. And was all in the name of safety, all in the name of security, all in the name of trying to keep people from catching this virus. And so as a result of that, we saw cities, states, nations put on complete lockdown, impose curfews. You couldn't go outside. You could only buy a certain amount of food. You can only do this. You can only do that. All these is a significant sign to show that when an emergency comes, even what we call peace-loving or freedom-loving people can fall prey to being put under a ruler that will control them. Now, fortunately, most of the governors, the presidents, weren't trying to impose a system where they became the god of that system. But just think about it. Think about the Antichrist who came, if someone were to come on the scene and say, I have an answer for everything. All of you just have to do what I tell you to do if you want the answer. And because people are so soon to embrace, oh, well, he has the answer, so we have to do what they say, instead of thinking about what they're saying, it's not going to be hard to bring people under subjection. One more passage of scripture I want to look at is Revelations 13, 16 through 18. And of course, this is the culmination of what I'm talking about. But this is what we're talking about. It says, and he, the Antichrist, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and they that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And it says, herein is wisdom, let them calculate the number of the beast, For the number is the number of a man. His number is 666. And we all have heard the story about 666. But in this time, we can see, and other things have been crying out for, well, we need to put a chip in people so we can identify who has the virus and who doesn't. And we can track them and know where they've been. And all this is in the name of peace and safety. But it's also an opportunity for us to get insight to see that the enemy is trying to use anything to control and manipulate people so that he can do what he wants to do. So we have to look and learn from these things. And that's the broader picture. So we have to see that, first of all, this is not the end, but it's one of the early birth pangs. Secondly, we have to understand that times may get perilous as we go through. Things are going to be happening all around us. We're going to be seeing more and more of these kinds of things. But also, we have to be careful not to be so quick to give over our freedoms and allow God to continue to direct us and not allow us to fall prey. But finally, the last thing about this is, what is the church supposed to be doing? And like I said, this is a great time for the church to do some self-examination. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible are 2 Corinthians 13:5, which says, "Examine yourselves and see if you're in the faith." And in Psalms 26:2, it says, "Examine me, O Lord." Let me go to that real quickly, because I don't want to misquote, because there's a part that I want to include in that. It says Psalms 26:2. It says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." So this is a perfect time for us to look at us and look at our relationships with the people around us. Look at our relationships with people in the church. Look at our family relationships. Look at our neighbors' relationships, our jobs, all the relationships that we're in. Are we giving the best in our every relationship? You know, one of the things about this, when things change, when we have a change in circumstances, change brings strain. And strain brings conflict, and it makes us bring our relationships to the forefront, or the weaknesses of our relationship to the forefront. People are not getting along. People are wondering if they should stay married. People are not sure if they should stay in the job that they have. They're going through all this because of these strains. And we need to find out, what is God saying to us in this time? What we need to be seeking the face of God. This is a time to draw near to God. This is a time for us to put away all our distractions. Many of them have been forcibly taken away from us. So we need to take this time to really seek God, really seek to hear God. You might say, "I've never heard God speak to me all my Christian life." That's because you haven't given him time to speak to you. All you have to do is spend time with him. Open up his word. Pray. You might say, "Well, I don't know how to pray, Pastor. I try to pray and I get distracted." Well, if you can't pray, write a list of things to pray for. And then after you finish that list, just say, as Samuel said when the Lord spoke to him, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And take a few minutes to just wait. And then if you don't hear God speak, go to the scripture and find a place in the scripture and start to read. And don't just do it like it's I'm just going to open the Bible and flip it. No, go to a book and start reading. If you want to read the Psalms, go to the Psalms. Go to Psalms 119 and just allow yourself to inhale what that Psalm says. That's the longest chapter in the Bible, but it has some of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. Another place to go is Proverbs, where it talks about getting wisdom, getting understanding. These are all Old Testament books, but then, of course, you can go to the New Testament and look at Jesus' life, look at the Gospels. But take the time to allow God to speak to you individually so you can get some direction for your life, so you can find out what you're supposed to be doing in your marriage. You know, so many of us are married, and so many times we just fall into the habit of marriage. And I've been convicted lately about just my attitude towards my wife has not been very good. I've been complaining about stuff she said. I find myself, she'll say something and she can't hear me, and I'm downstairs mumbling and grumbling and complaining. I say, Lord, you said you hate that. I need to get out of that. And why is it that I'm mumbling and grumbling and complaining about my wife? I mean, she's been the greatest thing that could have ever happened to me. She's been the best friend that I've ever known. We've been on the same page for so much of our life. And there's just little things bother her. She said I embarrassed her in the store because she asked me if I had put my card number in the thing. I said, of course I did. You act like I never go to the store or something. And she says, you're talking too loud. And I said, I didn't think I was because I had my face mask. And then I asked myself, well, why did I get so touchy about that? And I just had to go to prayer and say, God, help me not to have such a bad attitude. Help me not to be in that mode anymore. And Lord, and see, this is little things like that that cause irritation in your relationships. And there's no reason for most of it. Maybe we're restless. Maybe we're anxious about what's going on. But the Bible says what? Don't be anxious for anything. Don't cast your cares upon him because he cares for us. So we need to go about examining our relationships, examining our attitudes. Ask ourselves, what is it about our spouse that drew us in the first place? You know, so many times we always talk about, oh, yeah, we were so much in love when we were, 20 years old, but now we're in our 50s. And, you know, you should love your wife more today than you loved her back then, because now you know her and you've spent years with her, and you should have learned to appreciate the different qualities and characteristics that she brings. So we need to learn to examine our relationships, examine our relationship with God. First of all, this should be a time, a great time of seeking God. You know, everybody's been quoting 2 Chronicles 7:14, but we really do need to seek God. We need to confess our sins. We need to get out of ourselves and ask God to change us again. We need to, as they used to say, you need another dip of the Holy Ghost. We need, you know, if you remember the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, but later on when Peter and them were threatened not to preach the gospel, and they came back and they prayed, and the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost all over again. So sometimes we need another portion of the Spirit because we need to keep alive when it comes to our spiritual man. Amen? The last thing I'm going to say, and then we're going to close, is James, chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. And this is something that we should not only practice during this season, but this is something we should learn to practice always. James 19:1-20. It says this, So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. But we always stop there. And then it says, and slow to wrath, or slow to get angry. It says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So in this time, we should be listening. We should be trying to get God's insight, his foresight. You know, I don't proclaim to be a prophet, but God can still give you words of prophecy, no matter if you're a prophet or not. But you have to put yourself in a position where he can speak to you. You have to give him an opportunity like Samuel did. Say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then when he does speak, make sure it's not just you, but it's him. Check it with scripture and then proclaim what it is that God is speaking to you. But you have to be slow to speak and quick to hear. And then also we have to keep from being angry. Let's stop being mad about everything. I know things can be disappointing. I know some things make us mad. But the Bible says the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So being angry is not the way you're going to solve problems. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to close for this service. And so we thank you for listening. And I just want to pray and just believe God for miracles in your life. So, Father, we pray right now. We break the shackles of the enemy. We break fear. We break anxiety. We break disagreement. We break the flood of the flesh that has come in during this season, Lord, where we're doing things in our own strength and we're trying to understand things and leaning on our own understanding. But, Lord, help us to back away and trust you and listen to you and trust that you will speak to us and give us direction, give us peace. Lord, your word says you keep us in perfect peace if we keep our minds stayed on you. So, Lord, there's people that need a healing in their body, and I pray that you would just touch their bodies, touch their minds. Some people are confused in their minds. And, Lord, I pray that you would just send your word to heal men, women, and children of whatever their affliction or malady or sickness might be. And, Lord, we thank you that because of your stripes, we are healed. We are saved. We are set free. We are delivered. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you, and we will see you next time.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.